Come on. Okay. So we're going to talk about serotonin. Serotonin is kind of an underrated, unknown role, maybe even through pregnancy. People often know about serotonin later in life as a neuromodulator for being responsible for things like mood and appreciating and liking what you have, type of things like that. But it does a lot more. It does, especially in this time frame here, through the different trimesters and through, we'll basically get up to the critical period here. But we'll start with neurulation because we'll have to, because we're developing the living organism. One thing to know about serotonin is it comes from tryptophan, which is an aromatic amino acid. The human body has 20 amino acids, and you can see these broken down into different kind of subtypes. The aromatic type, tryptophan, tyrosine, and phenylalanine are very diverse. Tryptophan is similar to methionine because it only has one codon. They're building block proteins. So it makes sense that this building block protein will be responsible for developing the living organism from the get-go. Dr. Hannah Stevens from the University of Iowa, she is an MD, PhD. She studies kind of this time frame. She's also a clinical doctor and she's a neuroscientist. What led me to her is the dorsal striatum because of the basal ganglia. We have a lot of episodes on the basal ganglia, but she studies this time frame and, she's just fantastic. She has such fantastic roles with. And research with autism. So basically, what we're going to mainly talk about is developing the sensory map. That's our end goal. We're going to talk about the somatosensory cortex, as which is right about here, the visual cortex, and then audition, the auditory cortex, V1 and A1. Are not as dominant here with the serotonin's role as S1, the map. But let's get there. The first trimester, remember this is remember the episodes about neurulation. Just real quick here, also about tryptophan is there's two different distinct pathways of tryptophan. And at this time frame, that's not so much the case because the fetus has nothing. It's just helping develop. So, synthesizes tryptophan in the peripheral and enteric nervous system. Tryptophan hydroxylase 1. Remember, anytime you hear ACE or C-ACE, ASC, it's an enzyme. Then the brain is TPH2. These don't cross over in the developing organism. But at this time, now this is kind of drawn out and developed, but we're in the first trimester here, before neurulation and everything. Serotonin and tryptophan's role here is just kind of providing neurogenesis and later on a little bit of synaptogenesis. Because remember the neurulation. Remember, we have neuroepithelial cells. There's four of them that make the central nervous system. And that's what we're going to have to talk about here. But we're going to get there. Remember the four neuroepithelial cells: proencephalon, mesencephalon, the one that doesn't subdivide, and then the rhomboencephalon. And then this will later subdivide into telencephalon for the cortex. Showing up, not bad. Diencephalon for the subcortical areas, and the eyes will extend out from the diencephalon. The mesencephalon here, the midbrain, remember from. Yeah, we have a lot of episodes about the mesencephalon because it doesn't subdivide. And it has three main roles that it's trying to achieve. One is sensory integration, two is motor movements, and three is kind of orienting the attention of the living organism to the outside world. So that is why the mesencephalon is very fascinating to me, because all three of those are autism. And then the ROM encephalon subdivides into the MET and the MI encephalon. So things like the pons, cerebellum, and then the MI encephalon for the medulla. And then the spine. Why this is going to be important here is because where serotonin is later made in the brain, remember, because it doesn't cross over, it's going to be important here, right here, with the brain stem. But we have to first develop it. Let's see, what else is important here? We've talked about things like Sonic Hedgehog and P10, and then this phosphorus. Phosphorus and with the mTOR, rapamycin, and then this right here is like kind of a metabolic regulator of it, and Sonic Hedgehog and things, because we're developing the cells. There's massive amounts of cells dividing here, and they're just exponential. There's so many cells happening. Serotonin is kind of regulating that. So we're getting to neurulation here. Not much is happening here as far as developing the organs and so forth, the tissues of the brain, the central nervous system. But okay, so yeah, the fetus here, let's just touch on this real fast, because I think we'll just draw this out about the sources of the serotonin. The first trimester, this neurulation, obviously, there's nothing there that the baby can make, the fetus can make. So it gets all of it from the maternal TPH1, the peripheral and her enteric. People would be maybe shocked to know that 95% or so of our serotonin is in the gut. So the gut serotonin, tryptophan of the maternal here is vastly important. Because now she has to supply materials, kind of building block materials here for the placenta, the umbilical cord, and then to the fetus. Remember what the tryptophan's role here with the placenta is, we're not really subordinating or ranking these out, but as far as the molecule building block for the placenta, tryptophan might be number one. Remember, it's a building block with that one codon and methionine. So it's vastly important here, the maternal's tryptophan and serotonin levels. It's very delicate because of the roles with the neurogenesis and so forth. So all of it from the first trimester is coming from the maternal, nothing from the fetus. It can't. We just drew out what looks like little peas. Nothing's happening then. However, we get to the second trimester and things start to kind of shape. All these tissues and brain regions, what we're going to get to, begin taking shape. Okay, so something that we've talked a lot about is the mini columns, because that's what it's going to make these sensory maps or the mini columns again. And the thalamus. We talked a lot about the thalamus. Remember, it's a sensory relay station. And it's vastly important here. And the serotonin and the sensory map is that tissue, the thalamus, and these sensory cortexes, S1, V1, and A1. But remember, more S1. So serotonin's role here, let's just draw this out in a way that kind of makes sense to us. Something that we've seen before in the other videos, the thalamus. Yeah, so we have the medial geniculate right here, the relay station for audition. the lateral geniculate, the relay station for vision, and then the rest of the tissue that makes up the thalamus. Okay, remember it has the shell over it too. That's going to be involved here. But we're going to kind of go before that shell somewhat. So let's just think about this as the thalamus. This is the view from like overhead and from the back, because these are in the posterior and inferior parts. Remember, the midbrain is just below here. And these things can just reach out and high-five each other because of their organizing for FAST. First-order sensory processing. That's the whole thing we're talking about. So the second trimester and so forth, these things begin taking shape. They're being structured. And serotonin here is kind of regulating the building block of this. So the fetus will begin supplying its own, remember, because all of the cell dividing, and we've now mapped out the central nervous system with that neurulation. So the second trimester, the fetus begins to making its own, and it's kind of helping regulate the nutrients and so forth, the physiology of the umbilical cord, and then the placenta. If I didn't mention, I don't remember if I did or not, but remember the episode with Dr. Eric Weiss. He's a surgeon, I believe an orthopedic surgeon, and he's now shifting his role as an MD to more stem cell research and umbilical cord stem cells to treat autism. And he did it on his son, Marston. You can see their story. I'm not pushing it, but he happened to kind of naturally get into the stem cell research because of his, he went to Duke School of Medicine and they do some of that stuff there. And at his residencies, he met other doctors and research programs that do this for other conditions. He's like, well, why not do it for autism? He done it with his son, Marston. You can see their story. But anyway, the second trimester, the fetus in orange begins to make more. Maternals is still going to be pretty high, though, but not as much. It's not as required. So if this is the thalamus, we have to get to the cortex, especially S1. Now, I'm not so sure how we're going to map this out, to be honest, because I really want to, I think I'll draw a lateral view of it too. Something that we know is you got the eyes and then the thalamus here, it's basically in the middle, deep inside. And then we have things like the brainstem. Cerebellum, then the occipital, up to the parietal, the sensory motor area, which is where we're going to spend a lot of time getting up into the prefrontal cortex, and then just to make sense of where we are, the temporal lobe. So we're kind of looking like this. Okay, and then if we just want to kind of make sense of the S1 area and also M1, because we're going to kind of map out the homunculus. The homunculus is going to be mentioned, and we're going to, I think maybe I'll draw it out. So S1 is back through here, kind of slanted. So somatosensory 1 is like right there. And then the motor cortex, M1, is just in front of it. Remember this area right here, is sensory motor. Remember, we have the frontal eye fields up here, and there's the supplemental motor area, SMA, up here. All of our reflexes and habits kind of go here. Remember, it conserves energy. And the brain, number one goal is to conserve and allocate energy. Based off of the sensations coming in, it's going to determine what do I need to activate and inactivate while conserving energy. That's why habits are so powerful. So at this second trimester, so this is the thalamus here, and we're going to start building up cells and connections, because serotonin's main role here is the connections, the so-called wiring that will provide these things to communicate. Remember, these are kind of distal areas here. So these distal connections, things like white matter tracts and so forth, are important. Remember the mini columns too. So let's just draw out some of the mini columns, because we're going to talk about the differences between a properly structured mini column and, remember, the neural fill. So let's just get into this. Remember, these are layers of the cortex. We have six layers in the cortex. They basically stack upon each other like this, like crepes. They're basically just like six crepes stacked together. We're going to talk about two that we've already talked a lot about. So this is good that we have this background information and videos about this. Remember, let me draw this out here. So let's look at this mini column here, okay? So we have a mini column here, and then we have another mini column here. Remember, as we build mini columns, they're macro columns. Then we have this space in between, not Dave Matthews, but this kind of space in between here is called neurofill. Okay, remember, with the autistic phenotype, these are smaller, roughly 40, 50, 60 microns versus a typical, which is 80 to 90, 100 microns or so. So the difference of a thickness of a sheet of paper is about 90 to 100 microns. The autistic phenotypes is half a thickness of a sheet of paper. We're going to get to why serotonin is important for this creation and some of the regions of the thalamus. But first, to recap, we've already talked about it probably a lot, is connections come from the thalamus and enter layer 4. This is called thalamocortex. This is thalamocortex, thalamus to the cortex. Landing spot is L4, layer 4. Layer 2 and 3 we'll get next. Right? We've talked about this, so I won't spend a whole lot of time here, because that's where our experiences and our intelligence, everything we know, our skill sets and everything, live kind of layer 2 and 3. So sensory information is coming up and recruits L2, 3 for kind of what do I do? And then they're sending instructions back down to layer 5 and 6 for a big layer about, I should just say it then, I guess. 5 and 6 have two different kind of layers. 5A, 5B, 6A, 6B. The one with 6 is speaking back down to the thalamus. So corticothalamic, right? We've talked about this, but I think we're going to have to map this out so that we know. Remember, below 6 is a bunch of white matter tracts. Okay, so the second trimester and beyond, serotonin is kind of providing wire diagrams because these connections must communicate. And the way that they communicate are things like axons and these so-called connections and so forth. So what is happening at this second trimester, because there's not a lot of sensory input for the child and so forth, it's just kind of building these structures here, just putting them in the right place. Remember the differences between proliferation, differentiation, and migration. So the second trimester here is a lot of neurogenesis and then migration. Serotonin is responsible for the areas of the thalamus and this S1, the relay stations, like for sensory, V1 back here, A1 up here. So it's very important that these things are being built. It's almost like, I like St. Peter's Basilica. I won't rant, but I like St. Peter's Basilica, and serotonin here is like Michelangelo or Bernini. It's like the architecture. It's determining what goes where. So whenever this is kind of abnormal, things start to become complicated already. And this is challenging. This is because we're going to talk a lot about the sensory overload and just it's chaotic and so forth. There's a thing called diffusion. And at this time point right here, whenever these things are being built and these connections are being made, as we're heading especially into the third trimester, there's a little crossover here about how much the sources are from where. So the child will start to kind of supply its own because it's, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger. What we're doing here is building this foundation to get us towards perinatal birth and the critical period. There's a lot of sensory integration and processing, a lot of physical phenomena just smothering these sensory processes. So at this point, though, there's a thing called diffusion and then refinement. Serotonin kind of is modulating this. So we can do this on the seesaw because that's a good thing. It's always good to see things like this. So, diffusion, refinement. When serotonin is off, either high or low. At this point, because of this TPH1, TPH2 type thing, and remember the living organism, the fetus, is developing its own. So we've definitely developed the central nervous system now. Serotonin for the brain is made in right here in the brainstem, the mesencephalon, and down into kind of the pons area, mostly the posterior side of the mesencephalon. Remember, we drew this out. We kind of drew this out. The mesencephalon, if we would just splice the brainstem and kind of look at the top of it, because that's how you have to look at the brainstem and spine, we have this para-aqueductal gray that is kind of like right here. And then serotonin So we can move vertically, or if we're just looking at it overhead, it's basically like right through here. And then it will just come up and just sprinkle the brain, essentially. There's a lot of connections. Serotonin has a lot of receptors versus the other neuromodulators. We haven't quite crossed over into the neuromodulator yet. So it's still a building block. So the third trimester, and then like perinatal, there's a big shift here because of growth is one, and being able to prepare the living organism, the child, to receive the actual physical phenomena of sensation, perception. And whenever the serotonin is bad, remember this neurophil, when serotonin is bad, this neurophil will be smaller and there's no real good edges anymore. So there's just a lot going on here. Serotonin's role here is to determine what is important versus what is not. What stays versus what is pruned out. So these connections, remember, we extracted a specific cell. When we talked about OCD and the basal ganglia, a specific cell here, if we just draw out a specific cell, however we want it to look like, it's not that important here, but then if we zoom in, let's just zoom into here, and we have these spines here. Every time this spine receives a connection, it will mean essentially the same thing. This spine right here doesn't receive different connections with different meanings. So whenever these things are not pruned, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of mismatched and a lack of direction, a lack of kind of clear-cut structure here of how to process sensations. And that is diffusion. Diffusion doesn't have clear edges with these many columns, which is why the neurophil is smaller. Serotonin here has to stamp, has to say, cut these connections out. Versus refinement. Refinement has clear-cut edges. They have clear connections. They don't have any competing kind of sensations and processes to determine what should I pay attention to. Diffusion is a lot of different weak connections because the more connections you have, the more competition there is. So there is very poor spatial boundaries. And remember, we've also drew out the signal to noise. What are you going to pay attention to? What is signal to pay attention to versus what is noise? So, in the autistic phenotype, a lot of time it looks like this, to the environment, not inside. Inside the living organism, inside the autistic, it's different. There's a lot of signal inward. Autism means self. Now, this could be very much a reason why, because the outside world is chaotic. So whenever you think about the sensory processing, just to finish up, so we have the S1, we don't need little guy anymore. So we have S1, somatosensory, which is processed here, this connection right here. These mini columns are essentially, they're pretty plug and play, if you will, except for there's a little bit of different changes, especially with layer 4 with the mini columns. So this one for S1 or the V1, the A1, which is up here, but laterally, very lateral, and then visual cortex back through here, obviously in the occipital lobe. Somatosensory, there's a VP and VL row here, little brain region, that's responsible for speaking up to the S1. Because remember, each connection means the same thing. And then V1 and A1 are... Serotonin here is involved in here very much with kind of mapping out this diagram, but not as much as S1. So this is huge here. So if we look at S1 and we look at the so-called homunculus, you probably have seen it. Now I have to reverse it. It's going to be complicated. It's not bad. It's not bad. So if we just splice this out, if we just splice this out and then just looked at it like this, and you can see these all over the internet. They're not actually not bad. And then for the sensory motor area here, you can see it like side by side. So S1, what color we got? Blue. And then S1 will receive the information about the sensation, place, space and time, spatial awareness, and things like that. And then right next to it is M1, because remember this other layer 6 cortex is cortical cortex. So it's speaking across the cortex. We receive information about the environment, the space, and then we can have these motor movements right here. So M1 will help modulate and control motor movements. Each one of these sections, this is what I'm getting to, each one of these sections right here is responsible for different areas of the body. Same for the somatosensory. You can see great pictures of these. These are just basic pictures here. So whenever the sensory map is abnormal and there are many different connections and so forth, the autistic phenotype will receive a lot of information here and not know what to do with it. It cannot determine signal to noise because there's no refinement. Remember, refinement is like a manicured yard. People love doing yard work. Refinement is like that. They have nice edges on their bushes and nice landscaping and so forth. Diffusion is like ivy. If you've ever had ivy, it just grows massively and it's just everywhere. That's diffusion. So as we're getting to perinatal and birth, obviously there's nothing from the maternal anymore because they are separated. We're building up now to the critical period. And there is a lot of massive sensations going on. So a fascinating question about autism is, of course, how it's built. But is there something to do with the critical period that makes it just a learned kind of characteristic, a learned phenotype, a learned trait to stay inward at this moment? Is there something to do with early intervention before the critical period? And that's why I talk about the things like the UCLA paper on the salience network. The salience network is how do you modulate your attention? And that's why that paper from 2024, UCLA, that found abnormal connections with the autistic phenotype at 6 weeks old ought to be followed up on. There's nothing ever comes out of it. And it's irritating because what if you could catch autism with that altered connection. Remember, the salience network has the insula, which is right in here, very lateral, and then the anterior cingulate cortex, which is part of the medial prefrontal cortex. It's medial, so it's not as lateral. But these are the major hubs for the salience network. That paper found that connections to here were stronger. That's because of the diffusion, I think. I don't know if the paper highlighted that, but whenever there's diffusion, there's just chaos versus the normal, the typical developed that didn't have these stronger connections to this sensory motor area. What if you could catch that and then provide some sort of intervention to help the living organism, the autistic phenochild, to not bias so much to the inside? That's a conflict though, because how much the autistic phenotype gets out of being comfortable within is massive for learning. It's just the social norms kind of make this more complicated than what they are, what they should be. The autistic phenotype can learn at such accelerated rates because of how much these neural connections, these wires, biases us to the inside, which is fine. So serotonin's role with the sensory map. We'll also do, before we wrap up, we'll also do an episode about serotonin's role versus T3, thyroxine. T3, during this same epoch here, has massive roles with specific cells. It's underrated and unknown as well. This is all very fascinating because they're both from aromatic amino acids that absorb specific wavelengths of light. So, serotonin development and the sensory map. Diffusion versus refinement. Pruning.